Although much of what we hear about tech interviews falls under the category of horror story or epic fails, I have a story that is not quite the opposite, but more of a most totally ridiculous 2010s interview ever. It involved my first trip to San Francisco, an anime hotel, and a first class airline ticket. Let's go. Welcome to the Make It a Pair podcast. I'm your host, Marlena Compton. The year is 2009, and this interview kicked off my transition from boring enterprise tech worker deep in the bowels, like literally working in the basement of Equifax in the exurbs of Atlanta, to early tech Twitter influencer in the mid-aughts. But before we go to San Francisco, you've got to know where I come from. For all the hype of Ivy League schools like Stanford and MIT and such in the Bay Area, I got both of my tech degrees from a school in the suburbs of Atlanta that no longer even exists as an entity. Southern Polytechnic State University was just down the road, meaning a few exits out of the city of Atlanta, Georgia, on Interstate 75, and was where many souls who washed out of Georgia Tech's cutthroat grading system ended up. This was also the school where, at the time, it was still possible to get a good, reasonably priced technical education. The original intention of the school was to create employees to be managed by Georgia Tech grads, and to some extent, I'm sure that is true, but with the school lacked in facilities and cachet on its mostly old and crumbling campus, except for the up-to-date Cathedral of Computer Science, it made up for in teachers who were there to teach. This is what I needed to learn calculus and to make it through physics, thanks to Dr. Lauren Hacker. She wasn't teaching the physics class. She was my C++ programming teacher. Hacker was her last name. It was. And she tutored me for a good 2 or 3 weeks every day outside of her programming classes to help me pass one of the hardest Physics 2 tests. I seriously thought I was going to fail the test and fail the class. She is the reason I passed Physics 2. There was Dr. Bobbier, who taught me about operating systems and hired me as a research assistant. Dr. Cheryl Duggins, who taught me all about object-oriented programming and design patterns. Very heady stuff for mid-aughts. And Dr. Orlando Karam, who taught databases and ended up being an amazing graduate advisor. Thanks for everything, Dr. Karam. I know you're listening to this. This was a mind-blowing experience for me, a former technical theater kid. And all of it happened at one of those extremely small and almost invisible state technical schools that eventually disappeared. All of us who went to Southern Poly were well aware that Google and Microsoft were not coming for us. This is why I was shocked the first time a Google recruiter called me and asked for an interview. I say the first because Google is notorious for continually recruiting you, even if they've already rejected you several times. I'm convinced that Google recruiter calls are as inevitable as living in Vermont and receiving an L.L. Bean catalog. Inevitable. I have like 5 L.L. Bean catalogs, and I've only been in Vermont for like a month. So, although I didn't get the Google job I was recruited for, it woke me the hell up. It made me realize that I didn't want to let the spaceship of tech pass me by. After all, how hard had I worked in all of these classes? I wanted in, and eventually realized that writing a blog, remember this is like 25, 26, live journal, Blogger, Tumblr, all of that, this plus Twitter was the path. So as I progressed through my graduate degree at night, as I kept my full-time job, I wrote blogs for each and every class that I took. In addition to one of the most amazing first tech conference experiences, which I'll talk about in a subsequent podcast, this netted me what to this day still stands out as the most ridiculous, over-the-top interview experience I've ever had for a tech job. So this podcast is dedicated to every computer science, software, and engineering student working their hardest on a degree at a small college or university that nobody knows about. This is for the not Ivy League and definitely not Seven Sisters students who show up and do the work knowing that Microsoft and Google are never showing up at their schools. I see you and I've been there. Keep going. You will make it. You can have an interview as ridiculous as this one. Okay, let's get down to it. I had applied for a tech dream job in a faraway place. Think opposite side of the globe, far away, thinking I would never hear back from the company. But I did. At the time, I had a somewhat well-known blog in a particular niche of the tech industry, and I was just graduating with a master's in software engineering. A master's, yes, that I earned while I was also working full-time. The company interviewed me a few times over Skype. At the time, Skype was the only realistic option, and the company let me know that they wanted to proceed with my interview and wanted to fly me out to their small San Francisco satellite office for a face-to-face interview. Up to this point, really, the only ridiculous thing about this interview was the fact that this company was so far away. But wait, they flew me out to San Francisco in first class. I hadn't flown in first class before, so this was pretty schmaltzy for me. I felt like $1 million sitting in a fancy seat that I hadn't even had to pay for myself. I remember having trouble with the tray table as it was inside the arm of my seat. The very businessy dude in a suit next to me saw me struggling and wordlessly opened the tray table for me before going back to his scotch and soda. For most of the flight, I was on my MacBook Pro, cramming in case I got any last minute technical questions. But the man later started talking to me and asked me what was taking me to San Francisco. I have a job interview, I said. I'm pretty sure I noticed him choking back a laugh. This was way before nerds became the new jocks, and first class, at least in my mind, was for CEOs, bajillionaires, and old white dudes. After I got off my flight, I took the BART up to San Francisco's Powell Street Station. If you haven't been to San Francisco, the Powell Street BART transit station is a huge crossroads of commuters and tourists. It is packed at all times, and the walls are lined with a strange inverted golf ball textured surface. At the time, I think it had just been renovated. The golf balls were shiny, squeaky, and ungraffitied. I remember riding an escalator up to the ground level with my suitcase thinking, what the heck? What is this? Where am I? As someone who has now lived in San Francisco for 10 years, the business and cacophony of Powell Street still has the power to overwhelm me. And this is after it's been part of my daily commute several times. I barely remember anything from my emergence onto Powell Street. I do remember the smell. Eau de San Francisco. I do not recommend this fragrance. There was so much going on. It was just a blur. I'm pretty sure I just started screaming, "Taxi!" This was before any Uber or Lyft. And I still have no idea how I ended up in a cab. The taxi dropped me off at the Hotel Tomo in Japantown. As if being in Japantown weren't cool enough already, the company had reserved me a room at an anime hotel. Sadly, the Tomo is no longer the Tomo. It's now a rather bland Kempton, but it featured murals by illustrator Heisuke Kitazawa, and the room had a dock for my iPod, which I thought was so futuristic and fancy. Yes, I still had an iPod, although I also had a newly acquired iPhone, and man, did it make me feel like I was the future. The next day, I taxied over to my interview. The receptionist showed me to a conference room and said, "Everything you heard about how nice it is to work here is true, especially the people." Right then, a man walked past her and in a very cranky voice asked why she didn't have his something something whatever ready. She retorted something like, "I'll get to it when I can." Seeing this interaction right after she had talked about how great it was struck me as ironic. Knowing now what I know about working in tech and in California, which does have a habit of being passive aggressive, should have been more of a clue than it was. Anyway, back to the interview. The receptionist sat me down in a large glass-walled conference room by myself. It was yet another interview on Skype. Yes, you heard me correctly. I was flown first class to San Francisco to do an interview on Skype. This time, instead of my laptop monitor, the video was on a large screen TV. I sat alone in the conference room in my interview suit and talked with several leaders at this tech company who were located on a different continent. Okay, so they did have me talk very quickly with someone in the San Francisco office, but it was an interview like, "Hey, so I hear you want a job." And then I said, "Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love it." I guess they wanted to make sure I was a real person. Has anyone ever catfished their job interview? Inquiring minds want to know. The interview happened in 2009, right after the housing market burst and most American companies were having to cut back. In fact, I remember reading on the tech news sites that many startups were straight up cutting 10% of the staff at the direction of the VCs. The job I was interviewing for was so far away and the company was such a tech unicorn that it just wasn't affected that much, if at all, by the U.S. housing market crash. I eventually did get the job and moved abroad for a year. I didn't know it, but I would see San Francisco again in a year, and I would move there to live full-time in 2 years. This was quite an intro. Hey, it's Marlena here. If you enjoyed this episode of the Make It a Pair podcast, well, I have made a playlist for you. That's right, a Spotify playlist featuring a bunch of the songs that I was listening to as I was going through this interview process. And I'm linking to it in the show notes. You'll probably see me link it on Twitter, but I have to warn you, it's really energetic. So maybe you want to put it on before you go for a run. It's pretty fun in the shower, and I hope you enjoy it. See you next time on Make It a Pair.